Blog Talk Radio.
Living out loud.
It's time to unlock the combination to your life's true potential.
Living Out Loud
with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. Dr. Birnbaum is a research psychologist, psychoanalyst, and author of What Price Power? An in-depth study of the professional woman in a relationship. She's an expert on depression, women's issues, attaining happiness, and so much more.
You got a gift, my friend.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Now, here's Dr. Frieda Birnbaum,
Living Out Loud.
Hi, this is Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. You can catch me on my website, drfrieda.com. Today, there's so much going on this week. I thought we'd discuss... Hi, Ryan, are you there?
Yes,
Christy.
And it was probably
an
amazing week. About a week ago today, we couldn't have expected some of the big breaking news stories that have happened. Probably one of the bigger news stories is Supreme Court says same-sex marriages are good across the country. Dr. Frieda, what is the psychological impact do you think that's going to have on the rest of the country?
Well, it's already saying that everyone is entitled to being married. Everyone's entitled to freedom of speech, liberty, and to do what it is that's comfortable for you. We can't judge what other people need. So this is very revolutionary today in our society, that we're accepting more and more of differences that are going to become part of mainstream America.
Okay. So what do you think will be the long-term impact of it?
Well, you know, I have friends that are, you know, homosexual, heterosexual. The long-term impact is going to be when you're talking to a person, that's who you're talking to. It's not their sexual orientation or even their gender orientation. We need to be able to fit the conversation into the essence of who this individual really is. So across the board, we're talking about the image of other people that are different than yourself. And when you do that, then you rise to the occasion because everybody has the same chance in life. When you're married and you have joint custody, if there's a problem, you share taxes, you share everything. So marriage has advantages that you don't get when you're not married. So here are people who have had disadvantages for a lifetime, and now they're going to catch up to everybody else.
So
something that we're
very happy about. You know, I wanted to ask you this, is that, you know how in heterosexual relationships, there's some, maybe one or two of the partners says, okay, you know, I want to marry you, but I'm not ready, and there's this the commitment idea. Now, do you think that because gay marriage is illegal, that it could potentially break up a lot of gay couples? Because now the gay couple, or same-sex marriage couple, can't use that excuse anymore. They can't say, well, I'd love to marry you, but it's illegal. Do you think that that's going to have a big factor?
Well, that's an interesting question, and it's so true. But in reality, when you are living together, you can break up much easier than when you're married. So it's really much better to have that contract. There's an obligation. It's difficult to get a divorce. And after all, when you are living together, there will always be problems. And that's why people are not, you know, so quick to get married today. And when you're married, it's just a pain in the neck often to go through this divorce. It's messy. You have to divide property. You've settled in together. So the chances of a relationship staying together are far greater. And so that's a good thing. People are getting married later because they're living together. And they're pickier because they're getting married later. So a lot has been getting in the way of living together without marriage. So So that's one topic. I mean, we're talking about gay marriages. We're talking about equal rights, what's been going on with inequality as far as race is concerned. And it's a very revolutionary time that we live in, and hopefully we'll get closer and closer to everything being equal, gender, sex, race, whatever you are. And that's what we're accomplishing more than ever, less of a divide between different types of backgrounds, ethnic backgrounds, less of a divide with religion. There's so much war going on just because of religious differences, hatred, hostility, terrorism, killings, all this. Because of differences that we can't accept one another for who we really are. So we are looking at other situations.
Hey, Dr. Frito, we're going to have Sherry on shortly, but I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more, elaborate a little bit more on what you just said, and also I was wondering if you feel that what happened in the U.S. is going to cascade and occur on a global scale.
I would think so. We're the trendsetters of the world. And we go global with everything that we do. And so I would think that this is going to have a huge impact on the way we look at each other. And this is going to be something that when we are not only in our country, but when we're in other countries, and we have to be able to define differences, there'll be less differences to define. And that's what we're hoping for. We're striving for everyone accepting each other's differences and yet feeling the same. Wouldn't that be great? So there's many other things to talk about. Chris Christie has thrown his hat that he is running for presidency, president of the United States.
Yep.
You know.
Before we get to Christie, I just want to quickly bring your attention that we do have our very first guest available right now.
Okay, fine.
We're going to bring her on right now. Her name is Sherry Sabatone. She's the founder of Life Bridge Solutions, LLC. She is a sought-after speaker. She's an advisor on family issues. And Dr. Frito, today on your program, she's going to talk to you about the 10 biggest mistakes adult children make with their parents. Sherry, are you with us?
I am.
Hi, Sherry. Welcome
Hi.
To our show.
Thank you so much.
And it's just a pleasure. And so let's get right into this. So the 10 mistakes that we make. What would the first major mistake be?
The first major mistake that adult children make is not having important conversations with their parents while their parents are able to have those conversations.
So the important conversations are, what are they?
On matters related to health care wishes, end of life wishes, financial decisions in the event that mom or dad can't care for themselves. So all of those important things that usually families don't talk about until they're in the midst of a crisis. And then they're trying to make important decisions without full information.
So how do you do that in a tactful way? You know, these are things that life decisions that could be threatening, could be a little bit uncomfortable, and yet you do have to discuss these issues. When would you advise us a good time to do this, or is there ever a good time and situation to sit down and discuss this without feeling that the other person is feeling a little bit threatened, apprehensive about it, because these are major issues here.
Absolutely, and what I would say is there are lots of good times and there's relatively few bad times. So one really bad time is at the Thanksgiving dinner table. That is not a good time to start this kind of a conversation.
However,
it really depends a lot on your family's, you know, kind of communication style and topics that have always been taboo, perhaps. So, for example, with some of my clients that I work with, Their mom and dad has never spoken with them about money, as an example. And so in those kinds of families, simply making a very direct approach and saying, so, mom and dad, you know, how are you financially, can be read by the older adult as, how much is my inheritance? And so often the adult children don't want to do that. So in those cases, what I recommend is that you ask mom or dad for advice, because our parents are used to being our parents. And so, for example, you might say, you know, I'm doing some planning of my own, and I'm curious what you think about this. I'm thinking about this, or I'm struggling with that. Or, remember my friend Sally? You know, Sally's mom just had to go to assisted living, and the family didn't know how they were going to pay for it. And that got me thinking. And then that can kind of open the door to a conversation that's a little less intimidating.
Interesting. So you're saying that you don't put the emphasis on them. You go around it and you talk about other things and you get a feeling for what's going on with them instead of discussing anything that could make them uncomfortable. That's so important because, as you said, many people just don't discuss these things for this reason alone. They never find out till it's too late, and then they're in this bind. So, you know, so what would you say of all the things to discuss? Now, you said this is number one. This is the biggest issue. What is something that keeps coming back that people should, that may not be so obvious that they should be made aware of?
Well, one of the most important things is whether your mom or dad has named people in their legal documents to make decisions for them in the event they can't make their own. So have they named a power of attorney for finances? Have they named a healthcare power of attorney? And if they have a trust, have they named a successor trustee? Because what ends up happening is if they don't make these very important appointments, then something happens. Let's say they have a stroke or they begin to suffer from dementia. What ends up happening is the family has to go to court and petition the court for somebody to be named as the guardian or conservator. And that is a very unnecessary process if mom or dad would simply do the work ahead of time.
Yeah, you really have to be very educated with this and do your own research to know how to help them. So it's a process for everybody, I can imagine.
Well, exactly, and that's why I wrote my book. I wrote a book on the topic, and the whole point of it was, it's called Facing the Finish, a Roadmap for Aging Parents and Adult Children. And the whole point is to provide that roadmap, because most people don't go through this a whole bunch of times. They go through it once, and often they figure it out when it's too late.
That's so true. So what is the name of your book again?
Facing the Finish, a Roadmap for Aging Parents and Adult Children.
Okay, this
hey,
is
Sherry?
Something we're... Yeah, go ahead, Ryan.
I'd love to ask you both one quick question. And Sherry, what do you feel is one of the biggest mistakes the parents will make with their children? And Dr. Frieda, in the same token, what is, Dr. Frieda, according to you, what do you think is the worst mistake that a parent can make when raising their children?
So who goes first?
Either one, whatever you have, wherever you guys want to proceed.
Go ahead, Sherry, you can go first.
So your question is, what's the worst mistake older adult
parents
with
can make, thinking like
adult children?
Yeah, adult children. You know, because you know they always say that the road of good intention is paved in anguish. So if a parent has good intentions, what's one of the worst mistakes they can make, even though they had the right intentions? Or typical
say I don't want to be a burden. To repeat over and over again, I don't want to be a burden, without giving any more specific direction than that.
Okay. Is that implanted on a subconscious level? Okay.
That's a good answer, actually. I like that answer. Now, this is about adults, how they're caretakers for their parents, and that's so important. So when we're looking at our parents and we're seeing them as fragile, and we're seeing them as that we have become their caretakers, we do have to have in mind that they have their own specific needs, and that no matter how much we want for their happiness, They know what their comfort level is. So we have to listen, and we also have to find a way, if possible, to give them what it is that they want, to make those years that they have comfortable and happy years. So if they don't want to live with you and you think that they're too vulnerable and fragile, it doesn't mean that just because you see something that that is what they need. You have to give, help them have that independence and that voice for as long as possible. They may need someone to be with them in their apartment. They may want to have opportunities to travel to the other kids, whatever it is they need. I had a patient who came in here, and her mother was really psychotic, off the wall, and she wanted to institutionalize her. But her mother wanted to go back to her house, and I said, give her a chance. 10 years later, her mother is enjoying living independently without any help. But yes, it's true, she was studied very closely to see if she had that kind of opportunity, that kind of possibility, if she can handle herself. And the mother did prove to be able to do that. And the daughter does actually go there still now today, twice a week, and is able to maintain a loving relationship with her mother, where she's less the caretaker now and more of a companion. And though there are still kinks along the way and there's still decisions to be made, the mother is happier and the longevity is much longer because of that very one decision. So it is true that older adults need to be able to have their own voice, and the children who have become the caretakers need to really respect that as much as possible.
Well, exactly. And what I'm fond of saying is, as adult children, our first job is to keep mom and dad safe. So to me, if there's a safety concern, that must be addressed. And that must be addressed even if mom or dad don't like the answer. So, for example, if they're still driving and they're getting into accidents and they could hurt themselves or hurt someone else, the keys need to be taken away. And that's a safety issue. Or if they're leaving the tea kettle on all night and forgetting to turn it off and could cause a fire, that's a safety issue. But that's entirely different than, for example, one client of mine I was talking with yesterday, and he keeps harping on the fact that his mother has a lot of clutter in her apartment. And I keep trying to explain to him that she's living there, he's not. And if it's not bothering her, and if she's getting joy from having her stuff around her, what difference does it really make to him as long as it's not unsafe?
That's so true, what you're saying. And also, I find that these little things can make the biggest difference. So if they can't cook the stove, they leave the stove on. There's this new appliance, it's called the Wave, that they can put on, and it's very safe. So you're right, that we need to really look at the hazards, the safety hazards, and sometimes just a few situations, a few incidences, we could make it much better for them. And that is the first need that we have to look at, is safety and how to help them to have the right life, a good life, and then be able to not worry about anything happening to them in the meantime. So it's a very complicated situation when you have adult parents. Could I ask you, do you have parents that you are a caretaker of?
I have parents who are well into their 80s who are basically
yes.
healthy and have their wits about them and have thankfully done wonderful planning. So they've
mm-hmm.
put pieces in place so that they're still able to be independent. So I'm
mm-hmm.
not in the role of caregiver for my parents. But I am a court-appointed conservator for lots of other people's parents
mm-hmm.
who didn't make these arrangements. And, you know, so I see it firsthand every day.
Yes, and it's interesting because when you can be objective to the situation, you're not emotionally involved, it's much easier to make factual decisions. And when you have parents that you're very close to, and you know how they're feeling, you know, as if you express taking away the car because they can get killed on the road, for sure their timing is off, their vision is not so good anymore. It's hard to see them stripped of their independence. And I guess with you, when you're doing this, what would you suggest they do to take the place of this car? How could they get around otherwise? Can you make some suggestions?
So much depends where you live, because, of course, I live in Los Angeles. And so in Los Angeles, we have, and I know in New York and a lot of other big cities, for example, Uber or Sidecar or some of these ride-sharing apps. And I know what a lot of adult children have done is they set up an app, they teach their parent either how to use it themselves, or they just, the parent will call them and say, I need to go someplace. And then the kid just orders a car, and the car shows up and takes them where they need to go.
Absolutely.
So,
that's so important for people to know, that just because they don't have that car doesn't mean they can't continue to be independent. And that's what,
right.
That's
in
a
some
huge
parts
fear
of
factor.
The country, right, right. In most cities, there's a very inexpensive, very no-cost or low-cost transit system for the elderly and the disabled, where for a dollar or two a ride, they can make a reservation and be taken to the doctor, be taken to the grocery store, be taken to the bank, door-to-door, so that they don't have to navigate getting on and off of public transport.
So would you say the biggest fear factor for them, aside health, is the fact that they lose their independence by not driving? Or what would you say that would be the biggest fear factor, aside from health?
That they're going to run out of money, that they're going to outlive their money.
Really? And what do you suggest they do for that?
Well, it's so much of it depends how much money they have. So, for example, if somebody's truly on a fixed income and all they have is their Social Security check, it's a lot tougher than if they also have pension or investments or other things. The more we have to work with and the earlier we start to plan, the more likely we can make decisions that will make the money last. So, you know, so much of it depends what they have to start with and then, you know, at what point it is that they start to do the planning.
Mm-hmm. So where can people find you on your website? And tell us a little bit more about you and your book again.
Sure.
So people will know. Go ahead.
Yep.
There's a website for the book called facingthefinish.com, and it's on that you can learn more about the book. There's a workbook that goes with it. You could either order it there or order from Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm.
And then my business website is lifebridgesolutions.com. And lifebridgesolutions.com has all kinds of free things to download and white papers, information, resources, and so on.
Perfect. So this was Sherry Samatin. Am I pronouncing the last name right?
You got it.
Thank you so much for being on our show. It's just a pleasure with all this information. And
thanks for
I'd love
me.
To have you back again.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so
Thank
much.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, Dr. Frieda, we have a very special guest coming on your program right now. Her name is Ashley Papa. She is one of America's fastest rising, most visible relationship experts, and her columns are seen by hundreds of thousands of people per week. So we only have her for a short period of time. Without further ado, please welcome to the program Ms. Ashley Papa. Ashley, you're there.
I'm here. Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, Ashley. How are you?
Hi. Good.
Okay.
So let's get right into this again. I'm sorry, Ryan. Am I speaking over you? I think I just did.
No, absolutely not, Dr.
Okay.
Frieda. Because Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, I'm just looking at this about relationships, you know, what works best, you know, making both people happy and positive and what would you recommend that, what would be the greatest solution for that? That's not an easy feat here.
Right,
you're talking about?
I'm talking about the article on relationships and when both people are happy and positive, you know,
mm-hmm.
and how do you go ahead and make that happen?
Well, when both people in the relationship, it makes for a stronger relationship when both people are happy because you know, that's obviously the goal for a relationship, but it's hard to have all the time. Like, it's, you know, reality is there's going to be times when somebody is in a bad mood, and you kind of just have to deal with that and take the good with the bad.
Take the good with the bad. Is it mostly good? I guess it's a little bit of each. Hard to be able to balance both of that. You're absolutely right. And so
right.
When the bad comes, I guess sometimes you have to just wait it out. So
yeah,
what do you do when your partner is not in a good mood?
Well, you kind of have to understand why they're in a bad mood. You know, if it's just because they had a bad day and it's something that you need to talk about, it's something you need to talk about with them, and it's something that should be done in private. Like, say you're out together at a dinner with friends and they're being a wet blanket or in a bad mood. The best thing to do is just, you know, table the discussion until you're home and alone and can talk about what was wrong, then try and get into it in front of others. And just really trying to figure out why the other person is in a bad mood, and hopefully not taking it personally is the best way. You know, they say communication is obviously the most important thing.
And what would you suggest you do if you find out that your partner has been unfaithful? How do you take care of that kind of damage? That's not easy to do.
It depends on, you know, what you want to do with the relationship. If you really want to hold on to this person, you know, and the terms of the, you know, the cheating, you know, are something you think you can move on from, then I think it will take a lot of work, even therapy, with something like that. You know, it just depends on if it's worth keeping, you know, the relationship or not. You know, I don't think that, you know, it's worth staying with somebody who cheats on you, because, like, it's an indicator that, you know, they're not committing to you 100%. But if it's, you know, if there's more involved in the relationship, like kids or, you know, like house financial obligations, then you might need to seek professional help for that.
You're saying sometimes,
Dr. Fried, I want to say something real quick. Actually, there was a big story that came out about Bristol Palin. She had a breakup with her, the Marine. Do you feel that post-traumatic stress disorder could have been a factor in that?
Mm-hmm. His PTSD or?
Yeah, his post-traumatic. Do you think that post-traumatic stress disorder is a major factor in some of the breakups?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, that could play a part depending if he's not recovered. You know, a lot of the symptoms of, you know, PTSD, it influences any kind of relationship. So that could have been to blame, you know, with the, you know, the reason that they split. That definitely could be, you know, one of the main reasons, that he wasn't, like, treated properly.
And some people carry this anxiety always, and it's just hard to get rid of this. They just keep re-experiencing it all over again. No matter what happens to them. And that's the problem with this stress disorder, that when you can't shake it, then it becomes something more of a panic disorder after a while, and you're living that life. So this is something that we really need to look at in a way that is treatable, but it does need to be treated. You can't just say it's going to go away on its own. That's difficult. It's very difficult.
Yes, like you said, it is a disorder.
It becomes a disorder when you can't shake any of these problems. So what would you say? So we're talking about infidelity, that possibly working it through. We're talking about a partner who's moody and inappropriate. What would you say is the most difficult difficult part of a relationship? The most stressful?
I think it depends on the stage of the relationship. You know, if it's a starting out relationship, and, you know, if younger couples, I think how to handle technology can be challenging to start. A relationship that's further in, maybe it's you know, the relationship's on the verge of turning into a marriage or something more committed. So having to negotiate, you know, becoming a we instead of an I, and kind of balancing, you know, your life and the relationship's life, that could be a challenge. And then, you know, later on, depending on what's involved in the relationship, kids
mm-hmm.
or house, you know, it all kind of can be challenging depending on how you handle it all.
It's so important, absolutely. So where can mm-hmm. people reach you?
Well, all of my stuff is on my website, ashleypapa.com. I have all my published articles and blogs, and you can email me there as well.
Very good. So thank you for being our guest today. Ashley Papa, she's an expert in relationships. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much. All right, and Dr. Frieda, that concludes Living Out Loud with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum for this week. Where can people learn more about you?
Well, I could also reach me at drfrieda.com. And this went so fast, I can't believe it's over. So,
yeah, it went by pretty fast.
It was interesting.
And time flies
stuff.
Having a good time. And we'll be back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern Time talking about the health benefits of vacation. And we're going to have some other great guests and other great surprises. And Dr. Frieda, we've got to hear more about your perspectives about other Supreme Court decisions, because right now it seems that the news cycle is just incredible what's happening in the world.
That's for sure. We're looking forward to it. Have a great evening, everyone, and we will speak again tomorrow. So be well and take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.